Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back. As usual, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you for tuning in, downloading, streaming, and now watching. I apologize for taking a break last week. I know there's been many a weeks where I just get busy, I get sidetracked, but honestly, last week I was just so emotionally drained. I was like, you know what? I already yelled once about the George Floyd thing. It felt great. I feel like I really made my point about all the stuff that was going on. And I was like, you know what? I don't really feel like yelling again. So let me just take some time. It's not like I have thousands of people just sitting at the computers looking at their phones like, I got to hear what Chris has to say. So, you know, what I have to say, honestly, it's really not that important. Like, who am I to think that, like, I just got to get this out because, you know, all these people are counting on me and they just have to hear my opinion. So that's why I decided to give it some time to breathe, let my emotion come down, and so I can just talk normally. Now, will I still be passionate? Of course I will. But my emotion has come down quite a bit. I've talked to several friends. I've talked a lot of things out. And I'm feeling a lot better. But I'll start with my milestones, as I usually do. For those who don't know, we have a 7, soon-to-be 8-year-old son. His name is Miles. And I like to talk about the different things that he's doing. You know, just sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small, sometimes it's much of nothing at all. But I like to just talk about different, you know, marks that he hits. And the last couple of weeks, it's been a little difficult. You know, he's regressed just a tad. There were a few nights where he was afraid to come upstairs and shower by himself. So I had to go in my room and lay on the bed while he did that. But other than that, he's been doing okay. Look, I've always been afraid of dying and stuff. That was something that terrified me even when I was a kid, and I see it manifesting in him. And there were a couple of nights where he at bedtime was just like, I don't want to stop thinking. I don't want to die. And it's just tough to hear, man, from the little guy. But I get it. I was the same way, and I was texting my father just yesterday saying, like, man, it's just so weird how, like, I don't even feel like myself anymore. It's kind of hard to explain. I'm sorry if you feel like, what the hell is he trying to say? I don't feel like Chris. I feel like my dad. It's weird. There's times where I hear my voice. I go, that doesn't even sound like me. This, like, literally sounds like my father. When I notice whenever I'm grabbing something out of a cabinet or anywhere, I look at my hands and I go, oh my God, these are my dad's hands. I mean, it's just slowly becoming my dad is very weird. And the conversations that I'm having with my son, I can vividly remember, you know, being in the other position, being 7, 8, 9 years old and telling my dad how afraid I was of dying and I don't want to die. And him like, dude, you're 7. Relax. It's like, you have plenty of time. Don't worry about that. And here I am, you know, 30 plus years later, doing the same thing with my son. You know, I feel bad for him, you know, but I got through it. He'll get through it. We have a lot more information now. You know, I have my wife to help me out. I have my parents to fall back on and numerous other resources, but it's tough. I know he'll get through it. You know, I'm really proud of him too. Whenever he gets in these states of just a panic attack, basically, and this state of worry. But I'm very proud of him when he calms down and goes, I got to remember from my lessons from the 88th book. This said, when my imagination gets away with me, I need to do this. I need to do that. And that makes me feel good. So he's recognizing when he's triggered, when his imagination is running away with him. He's trying his best. And I just feel bad for him, man. But he'll get through it. He's making some strides. But there are some points and some times where he regresses. And but I will say the last four or five nights have been fine. And I can't act like the sky has fallen. It was, I would say, maybe two or three nights. But for the most part, he's okay. And I have to remember, he's a seven-year-old kid, man. He's seven. He's already super creative. He's got the ADHD. And just as he can be super creative and imagine all these amazing Mario levels and see all this stuff in his brain and build these, you know, things in Minecraft, I also have to remember it also works on the other end with all the doom and gloom, and I can do that as well. And that makes me way more patient because I know exactly what he's dealing with, because it might not be death or things that he thinks about at his age, but there are things that I can let my mind run with as well, and I have to understand that. But, yeah, man. It's just this parenting thing is not easy, especially with all this stuff going on. And, you know, he's about to start school next week online. And how is he going to do with that? And will he be able to pay attention online? It's just a lot going on. And the fact that he also did not get to go to his grandparents, it's been a tough year for him. And obviously millions of other kids who've had their summers and their routines interrupted. You know, we all have. But I'm an adult. You know, fuck me. It's not about me anymore. I really feel bad for him. It's just a shit year for everybody, man. It really is. I know this is coming out now and a few things have happened, but I'll address those because this is supposed to be last week's episode. I'll talk about Black Panther in the next episode. Oh, sorry, I don't want to call him Black, but Chadwick Boseman in the next episode. Don't think I'm ignoring him. I'm trying to make up for last week's episode. But, man, so I guess I'll move on to the one topic I really wanted to talk about. And it's been, you know, over a week. So everyone's given their opinion. Everybody's probably heard my opinion on various other platforms. But for those who haven't, I just wanted to talk it out. This whole Kyle Rittenhouse thing, the Kenosha shooting where, you know, two people lost their lives and someone else lost a big chunk of their arm. And I'll be honest, I'm not one of these people who thinks this kid is innocent. Now, did this person put themselves in a position to where they had to defend themselves with deadly force? Yes, I'll say that. And I obviously had strong opinions when this started, but I always like to wait for to hear what this guy that I really I respect his opinion. I don't always agree with him. I can't say we don't agree, but there's some stuff him and I don't see eye to eye on when it comes to certain things. But Corleone Noir, he's a great source when it comes to this kind of stuff. He's a lawyer, very smart guy. He's also a big gun guy, which I am. And I support him. He's a young black dude. He's a conservative guy. And I like all his videos about guns and I like his take on things, even though, like I said, even though I don't always agree, it's just someone that I respect, and I like to hear him out. That's somebody I can listen to, and I'm not like, man, fuck that. He's trying to do that's some. This is someone I can listen to all the way through, and to be honest, get out of my feelings because I don't think that he has an agenda other than presenting facts. Yeah, I just feel like there's definitely two sets of rules for people. I guess there's a lot here. I guess I could kind of start from the beginning. For me, I feel like when it comes to guns and violence, black men, I would say, especially raised in the inner city like I was, and I'm assuming so for black guys who were raised in the suburbs, but I'm not really sure, so I can't say. But when it comes to guns, it's always been like, hey, guns are bad. That's how a lot of young black men are taught. Don't touch guns. Guns are bad. And a lot of these big cities, yes, guns are illegal. Handguns are illegal or very, very, very hard to get, and in some cases just outright illegal to have in these certain areas. So I can understand that. But I think that's something we need to stop teaching our kids. Guns are not bad, okay? And what some people have to understand is when you come from certain environments, they don't see guns as tools. They see guns as tools to help people. I'll say that, or safety. A lot of these inner city kids, and I'm pretty sure in certain rural areas too, areas too, they're seen as tools to intimidate, to take people's lives. You know, they're used for all the wrong reasons. So they grew up with a very different image and purpose for gun. They've seen guns used in other purposes, illegal purposes, so they have a negative opinion. As far as violence goes, hey, we've always been taught, no matter what, try to avoid a fight. If you can, get away. You know, at all costs, you know, just try to resolve it peacefully, and only resort to violence whenever you feel like you really, really have to. But even then, if try to get out as much as you can. I feel like that's how Black people are taught when it comes to violence. But I feel like there's, in other circles, it's just like, that's not even a thing. It's just like, no, you stand up for yourself. You do this, you don't shy away. Like, Black people typically don't teach their kids that, because they know when a situation gets violent, when things get loud, when altercations occur and law enforcement or authorities show up, even if we're in the right, we're typically seen as the person who was the perpetrator or instigator of that altercation. Therefore, we typically teach our children to just avoid it at all costs. Don't do it, because even if you're right, they're going to find a way that you were wrong, and that they're going to come up with every reason why you could have walked away. And I feel like there's large pockets in America where white people are not taught that. They are taught to stand up for yourself. Look at these laws. Stand your ground. Castle doctrine. You know, don't give up anything. You know, just don't take shit from people. We don't really get that talk, man. And I think it's time to shift that, as we see with this incident, man. Because I really honestly feel like, when it comes to the law, and then when it comes to shootings and it comes to violence, Black people, we are judged on the principle of whatever the issue is, not the technicality of the law. Take this kid, Kyle Rittenhouse. Great. He wanted to come clean up the neighborhood that was 20, 30 miles away, or 20, 30 minutes away from him. I'm completely fine with that. But the moment you bring a gun into this situation in an area that you're really not from, an area that you don't even use these stores, you don't shop there, it has nothing to do with you. When it comes to that, you don't need to be there. And plus, you're underage. You don't need to be there. Think about all these marches and protests that have happened in the last 5 or 6 years, from Michael Brown to Trayvon Martin, all that kind of stuff. When it was peaceful, people were still pissed when they saw like a ton of people there, like, oh, Ferguson ain't that big. Where are all these people coming from? They're coming from too far. They're just trying to start shit. They're trying to start trouble. They want to do this, you know. All of a sudden, there's all these rules to, like, well, if you want to protest, you got to be from there. You can only come from so far. You know, you're blocking the road. You're doing this. You're doing that. There's so many caveats and rules and regulations, like, you know, as to what will deem something peaceful, and if white people will be on board with it to get their approval. It's crazy. Just a laundry list of things. A laundry list of things that need to happen in order for someone to go, okay, I'll deem this peaceful. This is cool. I'll accept this. You know, we got to make sure we have all the T's crossed, all of our I's dotted. You better have your paperwork. Look what these stops. You better make sure your lights are working. And the thing is, I get it. It's everybody. But for someone like me and people that look like me, it can get deadly, man. And people are just okay with the shit. They have somebody get choked out or shot or beat the fuck up over a taillight or some shit hanging from your rearview mirror. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. I've seen 4 or 5 videos where cops have had guns pull out on white dudes. They're yelling in their face, fuck you, you pig. You know, I even seen one dude said, I will kill you. He said this to a cop when a cop had a gun on him. He gets in his truck. Nothing. But yeah, all these people are like, hey, if you just would have complied, this wouldn't have happened. That's bullshit, man. It's people preserving others that look like them. It's uncalled for. It's insane. Now, this kid is underage. He shouldn't have a rifle. And he crossed state lines with it. Now, people are like, oh, it's just a misdemeanor. It's still a law. You can't be this. You must comply with the law. You got to be, you know, you got to be within the confines of the law. I'm all about responsible gun ownership. Now, if this kid was at home and people came into his home and there was a rifle in there, by all means, take him out, man. I have no issue with that. But the fact that you knowingly went outside with an illegal firearm, crossed state lines, and wanted to play cop, and shit got ugly, I feel like that all falls on you. Because if that was me, people would want to know how far I came from, was the gun registered. They want to know every mistake that I made to make sure I take the blame for that. But all of a sudden, none of that matters. All of a sudden, it's just self-defense. It's self-defense. That is absolutely insane to me how all of a sudden we can throw away all this other stuff to defend this kid, man. It's crazy. But to be honest, I get it. I was walking down my street the other day, man, and my neighbor's son is driving past me, and I look at him, and I go, man, that kid kind of looks like Kyle Rittenhouse. And it's just like, I see why people are defending him, because that kid looks like their son. He looks like their nephew. That reminds me of me when I was young. I get that. But this to me, in my opinion, this kid was wrong for that. And if the law says he's innocent and he was defending himself, that's fine. I'm completely fine with that. But in my mind, I felt like he made a shit ton of mistakes. And when I say that, people, I'm not saying that the people he killed were completely innocent, because I have people sending me links like, oh, the guy he killed was a pedophile. It's like, okay, he didn't know that. But any other time, you're all about due process. And all of a sudden, that guy already paid his dues. He went to prison. Am I pro-pedophile? Fuck no. Do I feel like that pedophile should probably be put to death when they get convicted? Absolutely. But that he didn't know that. He didn't know that at all. No clue that this guy was a pedophile. No clue at all. I just really feel like it's just very convenient how all of a sudden we're changing all the rules. You know, the legality of the weapon doesn't matter. How far he came from doesn't matter. We've all seen this kid. He looks 12. He spoke to police while he was out there. I don't understand why none of these cops were like, hey, man, how old are you? Let's see some ID. Dude, I've seen videos of cops asking black men for ID because they felt like they had too many credit cards while they were at the ATM. Let's see your ID. Let's see all these credit cards. You know, I get pulled over. Is this your car? Bitch, I'm 40 years old. Who else's car would it be? But you see this baby face kid, tactical gear, AR. Actually, you know, I take that back. I don't think he had any tactical gear on. You know, AR-15. You didn't even think to go, hey, man, come here. Come here, man. You see somebody, if you're a cop, you see somebody really young smoking. Hey, man, let's see some ID. Drinking, same thing. Let's see some ID. But for some reason, this kid's carrying an AR-15, and you're just like, ah, it's fine. It's just weird. Even that alone, just the assumption that he was supposed to be where he was supposed to be, and he looks the way that he does, and no one questioned him, blows my mind. I will never get on board with the fact that I felt like he was in the right. He should have never been there. And I'm not saying that the other guy should have. No one should have been there. Everybody involved fucked up. But I felt like this kid made more mistakes than everybody else. He came across state lines, illegal weapon. His mother drove him there. And I felt like everything that happened falls on him. That's how I will be judged. That's how a person of color will be judged. And I just can't see it any other way, man. Like I said, whatever they rule, that's completely fine, because at the end of the day, it was three white people involved. That shit really had nothing to do with us. And I just can't get on board, man. It's just like I said, the moving of goalposts, the things that people now want to ignore, all this talk about responsible gun ownership all out the window. It's self-defense is self-defense. And I'm calling it now. If something, God forbid, something else tragic happens and somehow a black kid is involved and there's legality issues with the gun, how far they came, watch that be the issue. The self-defense will not take the forefront of that case. It's going to be about all the mistakes that this kid made, and they're going to tell you how many different ways this kid could have got out of this situation, how he should have never been there. Mark my words, that will happen if, God forbid, something else tragic happens. But I could go on for days about this shit. I'm pretty sure there's other points that I missed, but I feel like that's enough. We've hashed it on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. I just wanted to get off my chest. I owe the podcast. So follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy. September 24th, I'll be at... That's so weird. I talk about this shit and then talk comedy. I'll be at the Arlington Draft House with my boy Martin Amini. I'm doing his Overachiever show. And then that Friday and Saturday, September 25th and 26th, I'll be there featuring with my man Mark Norman and my buddy Umar Khan. We'll be emceeing the show. So there's a show. That's a show. Thank you so much. Make sure you guys like and subscribe. I'm going to work on getting some more old stand-up clips up there. So keep an eye out for that. And if you're new, thanks for checking out the podcast. Peace. I'll talk to you later. I'm out.